Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
So we're going to be looking at the name above all other names, the name of Jesus. Let's start our engines. We sing songs like we did tonight, like what a beautiful name it is, what a powerful name it is, what a wonderful name it is, the name that is above every other name. Another one of my favorite songs is I Sing Praises to Your Name. And then there's one, a golden oldie, There Is Power in the Name of Jesus. And so often we sing about his name. And what I'd like to do is firstly is just to look at some of the scripture, just four scriptures. You don't have to go there. We're going to run through it quickly just as a base for the continuation of the message. So Jeremiah 10. Verse 6 to 7. And it says, Lord, there is no one like you, for you are great, and your name is full of power. Who would not fear you, O King of Nations? How's that for a title? King of Nations. That title belongs to you alone. Among all the wise people of the earth and in all the kingdoms of the world, there is none like you. Psalm 99, verse 3. It says, let them praise your great and awesome name. Your name is holy. Psalm 8, verse 9. It says, O Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. And Psalm 149, verse 1 to 3. It says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. O Israel, rejoice in your Maker. O people of Jerusalem, exult in your king. Praise the name with dancing, accompanied by tambourine and harp. Beautiful. So there are many more, and we will look at a few others a little bit later. But by looking at these, we just get the idea of the majesty, of the awesomeness, the importance of his name. And even the position that he holds, King of the Nations, we get an idea of the position that he holds in the names that he is referred to in the Word of God. So I want to ask, what is in a name? Why is it so important in the world that we live in? Is it important in the kingdom? What is in a name? Names give identity to things. So if you think of your street name, couple that with your suburb, and suddenly people have an understanding of where you live. And if they need to come and visit you, they are able to because they have those two names. So names give identity to things. Names are an important part of our everyday lives. And everything has got a name. What is in a name? It identifies with a person or a thing. And so Jesus' name is extremely important in our faith. And we are in fact called Christians, which refers and identifies us as the ones who follow Christ. We are Christ ones. But what is so important about his name? What is so important about the name of Jesus? Well, just as there is meaning to our names, be it our first name or our last name, Jesus' name gives us some information about its importance. And so if we look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 to 21, it says, but after he had considered this is talking about Joseph, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So Jesus was given the name because he will save his people from their sins. The meaning of the name Jesus is God is Savior. Matthew also quotes a little bit later Isaiah chapter 7. And he says, "And they shall call his name Emmanuel." This isn't the same as Jesus, is it? Emmanuel, Jesus. Emmanuel means God is with us. So is the Bible contradicting itself? Absolutely not. You see, Emmanuel, God with us, is the nature of who the child will be. Is God with us. Understanding that Jesus Christ came down from his rightful place on the throne to heaven so that he, who was still God, could be among us. But he will be called, his name, who he will be referred to as, is Jesus. Okay. Just like we see in Genesis, if you look at Genesis chapter 2 or 3, and we see the story of Eve and how she came about, it says when Adam was naming her, he said that she will be called woman. But in the next chapter, we see Moses speaking about her name being Eve. So her nature is that she is a woman, but her name in what she will be called will be Eve. So there's the difference. It's not contradicting at all, but rather just giving us an explanation or an identification bigger than what we may originally perceive. So the Bible is not contradicting itself at all, but merely trying to explain to us mere mortals and give us more of a description. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it goes on to say that for us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. This is immediately after Isaiah has just said that the son will be called Emmanuel. So it's amazing how the Bible and people, when they're writing down their revelation of Jesus Christ, how one word cannot describe his magnificence and his magnitude, that they have to use so many words to describe who the Lamb of God will be. What an awesome God we serve, a God that encompasses all of these attributes. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter talks about the stone that the builders rejected. This is what Curtis was sharing with us earlier. It's unbelievable how the Holy Spirit is just playing here. He says, the stone that the builders rejected becoming the chief cornerstone. This speaks of Jesus being the most important part of the Christian faith. It is the foundation on which our faith is built on. Because when you're building a foundation, back in those days, what they used to do was they used to find a stone in the shape of an L, and that was the cornerstone. It decided the building line, and that was the first stone that was laid. But interestingly enough, if you look at other versions of the Bible, it actually says, it doesn't say cornerstone, it says capstone. And what now, is that contradicting itself? No, it's not. Some manuscripts decide different, or let me put it this way, different translations are translated by different manuscripts found in different regions of the world. So in that region, they decided, or they translated it to say capstone. Now, if we look at Revelations, I think it's Revelations 22, it says, Jesus is speaking and he says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Cornerstone is the first piece of a building to be laid. That is the foundation on which we're building our faith, and that is on Jesus Christ. The capstone is the final piece of the building that is put on the roof. And so it basically is just amplifying the fact that he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is everything that we need in our faith. So continue to look at the name of Jesus, because he encompasses everything that is required for us to believe. His ways are endless and he is all encompassing. I want to take a look at Philippians chapter 2. And we'll go from verse 3 to 11. It says, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." It's amazing. When speaking about selfishness, Paul uses that little semicolon and then says, don't try to impress others. So by trying to impress others, what we are doing is we're actually trying to elevate ourselves in their minds. So we are not thinking about them. We are thinking about how they think about us. And so by doing that, we elevate ourselves, or we're doing our best to elevate ourselves. But here it says, don't be selfish. So it's saying, don't try to impress other people and try to elevate their understanding or their thoughts about you. Don't do that. That's being selfish. Rather, we should be putting others' interests above our own, thus being completely unselfish. Now, Paul reveals such a humbling truth about Jesus and how even though he was God, he humbled himself, he lowered himself, and thought of us more highly than himself. So we carry on. It says that though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. And therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that beautiful? So we see that Jesus is given the name above every other name. John 14, it says that Jesus says that no one comes to the Father except through him. So there is no other way for us as man to receive salvation, to receive eternal life, to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There is no other way to be saved except to accept the one who has the name God is Savior. God loved us so much, and although we as man brought sin into the world, he didn't turn his back on us, but rather gave us a solution. He provided a solution for us to be restored to himself. He sent his son, who did not think that equality with his father was something to hold on to, but rather he let it go, and he came down and he died a criminal's death on the cross so that we could be restored to the Father and could have eternal life. You see, every other name is created, but the name of Jesus Christ is the creator. This is why Jesus has the name that is above every other name. This is why he has been elevated to the place of highest honor and sits at the right hand of the Father. Jesus' name represents a person who is above everything else. His name represents everything that Jesus did, who Jesus was as a man, and who he is as a member of the Trinity. The name of Jesus encompasses all the power, all the compassion, all the majesty, all the rule, all the reign, all the authority that Christ Jesus walked in and has right now over all of heaven, over all of earth, and everything that is under the earth. That is the name of Jesus. So I want to ask, how do we respond to this? Well, there's two ways that we can respond. The first way is that we can totally discard this understanding. We can discard it as hogwash, and we can pursue what the world tells us to pursue. The second option is that we can totally surrender our lives to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We can praise his holy name, and we can do our utmost to make his name famous. But it's quite prevalent in our society today for people to choose option one. The worldview is such that we need to make a name for ourselves. We leave school and we go to university to study something that we know we will excel in so that we can make a name for ourselves, so that we can make a name that is great. This concept is such that it actually is not anything new. It's something that we see even early on in the Bible. So if we turn to Genesis chapter 11, it is the story of the Tower of Babel. It says, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. And as people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, 'Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with the tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. And the Lord said, 'If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other.' So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth." Isn't it amazing that the one thing that they didn't want to do, that they didn't want to happen, the reason why they built the city was so that they could not be scattered. And it led to their destruction. It led to the thing that they did not want to see happen. Isn't that amazing? It's a short story, but so significant in our understanding of God, in our understanding of his ability, and his desire to see his kingdom come. By understanding the significance of his name, we realize that here we see a people who are so in awe of their own abilities that they want to make themselves elevated to a point where they make their name great. Where they have other people looking at them and saying, "Wow, this tribe is awesome. I want to be a part of that tribe." We look at this today and we think, but is it really that bad that they did this? Is it really that sinful to do that? But we've grown up in a world where this is the norm, where it is the norm to make a name for ourselves, to make our mark on society. The world has taught us that we need to make a name for ourselves so that we can live life to the fullest. But as we've seen, even back then, people were struggling with this thought of self-actualization. People wanted to make a name for themselves. Even religion, if I may go there, religion has conformed to the ways of the world. And so you find people today giving themselves titles. You have leaders of churches who own multi-sites and they now want to be called Bishop so-and-so. Or this is Pastor or Reverend so-and-so. I'm just being honest. In my personal opinion, I don't quite agree with this. If we look at Paul the Apostle, Apostle Paul, if you look at his letters, every single time I've looked at it, every single time, this is what he says. It follows this pattern. I'm taking the one from Ephesians 1. It says, "Paul, just Paul, that is his name, that is what you can call me, Paul, an apostle of Christ, that is his function, that is the reason why he is sending this message, because he is an apostle of Christ. So, with Christ's authority, I send you this message." That doesn't change who I am. I am Paul. Then it says, by the will of God. That is the authority with which I am about to minister. And then it says, to God's holy people in Ephesus. That's who he is about to minister to. We need to lead by example. We as Christians cannot conform to the world. We need to, what is the opposite of conform? We need to transform the world. Come on, Jono. So something else that that Jesus warns us about and we need to be careful of is highlighted in Matthew 7, verse 22 to 23. And Jesus is speaking and he says, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we've prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's law. I just want to touch on this quickly because it's really quite a stern warning from Jesus. The warning here is that we can know the name of Jesus. We can know the power that is in the name of Jesus. But we need to understand that Christ wants to have a personal relationship with us. His heart is that we have relationship with him. He would rather see you seated with him in heaven for eternity than have you walking around using his name to heal others. He would rather have you for eternity than have that. His sole mandate was to have you and I restored to the Father. Can I say that, yes, Jesus performed many miracles, but it was to glorify the Father so that people could be so in awe of who he was and who the Father was and his love for these people that he would heal them, that they would be, that they would not have any option but to give their lives to him. Those healings and the miracles was a byproduct for them to give their lives to Jesus Christ, believe in his name, so that they could be restored to the Father and have eternal life. That is a byproduct. The healing is temporary. Healing is something that's going to happen in this world. Because if you think about it, if they have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they might suffer in this world, but once they have received him and they pass away, they are with the Father and they will be healed for eternity. So healing occurs here just so that Jesus and the Father can be glorified so that they can give their lives to him. The main focus is eternity with him. The main focus is so that we can be restored to the Father. He would far rather have us for eternity than us not have a relationship with him and use his name. You see, there is so much power in the name of Jesus that even though he has not given us the authority to use it, meaning we have not accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and therefore don't walk in his authority, there is so much power in his name that guys can go around spraying doom in the name of Jesus, because the name of Jesus is so powerful that demons will shudder at his name. So guys can go around using his name because of the power that it holds. But Jesus is warning us here, guys, I want a relationship with you so that I can give you the authority that is required to use my name. You see, power without authority is abuse. And we can use the name of Jesus to the point where it can be so detrimental to people. It can lead them astray. Look at this whole thing that's blown up with the guy spraying doom. I'm telling you now, it's going to lead people away from Jesus Christ. Because there's power in his name, but they're not walking in under his authority. We have this wonderful saying that if you want to be in authority, you have to be under authority. We've got to be walking under his authority if we're going to be using the power that comes with his name. So that is the worldly way of thinking. The second option, which I would highly recommend, is definitely the way to go. And there's a great example of option two in Acts chapter 3. We're reading from verse 1. It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. And now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, helped him up to his feet and began to walk. And then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power and godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. And by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. So you see the difference between the Babylonians and the disciples of Jesus was whose name they wanted to make great. So I've got a little poem for you. I could rap it. It says, if we are to pursue our own gain, our own name, and our own fame, this is surely lame, as we will not remain. But instead, let us pursue the name that is above every other name, the name that for eternity will reign and will forever remain. And that name is Jesus. Guys, it's vital for us to understand that we are Christ's representatives. We have the mind of Christ. As we read in the text earlier, Paul addressing the church in Philippi, he says, you must have the attitude, the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Thus telling us that we, I'll emphasize it again, must have the same attitude. So it is possible for us to walk in his ways. And as we are in Christ, so we walk in his ways. As we representatives of Jesus, we need to understand what we carry. I remember when I was a restaurant manager, I had a waiter who took lunch break. And 2 hours later, she hadn't returned. And so, understanding who she was, I knew that she had a bit of an addiction with gambling. And this restaurant was in Sandton City. And if you know Sandton City, you know that there is a casino that is attached to it. And so I walked over there, and there I found her playing slots in her work uniform. And needless to say, we unfortunately had to let her go. Because she brought the company's name into disrepute. She was misrepresenting the company because of her extracurricular activities in work uniform. And so in the same way, we need to understand that as Christians, we represent Jesus Christ. While we were praying, Richard had this picture of soldiers who carried a certain amount of authority as they walked, but their name badges had not their own names, but the name of Jesus. And so as we walk, as we are soldiers in God's army, we carry his name. We walk in his authority. and we walk in his power. So we need to represent him well. You know, if for those of you who were here this morning, you heard John's testimony again of how there was a friend when he got saved. There was a friend that every single day watched him so closely for him to make a mistake. I tell you, the world is waiting for us to make a mistake. They're waiting for us to misrepresent Christ so they can say, I want nothing to do with this. We have to represent him well. They can't wait for the opportunity to disassociate themselves with Christians if we act hypocritically. In Luke 9, it says that one day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. And then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So we have been given the power and the authority to walk in his ways. Don't take that power and authority and abuse the privilege in order to pursue your own gain. By understanding what we carry, that's the power, and in whose authority we walk in, that is Jesus, we are able to represent him well. When the people built the Tower of Babel, they took the gifts and the abilities that God had given them, and they used them, can I say they misused them, for their own personal gain. This cannot and should not be our desire. We need to seek first his kingdom. Then he'll grant us everything else that is required. That is all other things. And the all other things that God gives us, I believe he wants to give us for our benefit. That's amazing. As we seek his kingdom, as we pursue relationship with him, our desires suddenly align with his. And when he gives us something, we realize that it is actually for our benefit, but also for the benefit and extension of his kingdom. And so as we align ourselves and our hearts with his, our desires start to match up with his. And so he grants us our desires because it is going to benefit us. And we start to see his heart, but it also are things that benefit his kingdom and the extension of his kingdom. So let this be our desire, to know Jesus Christ and to make his name famous, not our own. There's five things that we can take away from this message. And the first, I want to read one more scripture from Psalm 18, verse 49. It says, "For this, O Lord, I will praise you among the nations. I will sing praises to your name." There's another one that wasn't referenced earlier. And this actually, if you look at the context, it's actually in a time of trial. I want to say, in times of trial, as well as in times of rejoicing, don't stop singing praises to his name. By singing praises to his name, you fix your eyes on him. You fix your eyes on the one that can restore the situation that you're in, whether good or bad. He can, you're looking to the Creator rather than setting your mind on things created which result in problems and stresses in our lives. So look to him in the good times and the bad. The second is to pursue our relationship with him. We saw that Jesus Christ wants a relationship with each of us. He would rather have a relationship with us than us use his name to heal people. He wants us for eternity. Eternity. He wants you for eternity. Thank you, Lord. He wants a relationship. So pursue that relationship with Christ. As we saw in Luke 9, Jesus gave power and authority for us to walk in his ways. So number three is that go tell the world about the kingdom. Go heal the sick. Go cast out demons. He's given us the power. And if we believe in him, we have the authority to walk in his ways, to walk in his power. So go into all the world and heal the sick and tell people about his kingdom. Number four is to put others before ourselves, as we learned in Philippians. Don't be selfish. Don't try and elevate yourselves above others, but rather we should be bringing ourselves to a point lower than the people around us. Love them with the same love that Christ showed us. And the last thing is to give people Jesus. Climb, let yourself be that sycamore tree. Give people Jesus. Don't give them anything else. Don't be a stumbling block, as John shared this morning so wonderfully. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I will give you." If we are pointing people to Jesus in all things, the kingdom of God will come. He is the king of the kingdom. And so let's point people and let's strive in all things to point people to the person who rules and reigns over all things. Because if people are looking at their problems, they're not looking at the solution. The solution is the one who rules and reigns over their issues, over their problems, over their marriages, over their addictions, whatever the case may be. Point them to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your name. Your name that is the name above every other name. And we praise you, Lord, for the authority that you carry. And we thank you for your love for the lost, that you have given us power and authority to walk in your ways. I pray, Lord, that as this message has been spoken, I pray, Lord, that our ears will be open to hear and that our eyes will be open to see your amazing love for each and every one of us, but also the love that you have for everyone outside. And Lord Jesus, may we have an overwhelming sense of your wonder, of your majesty, and of your love for us, that it overflows, Lord Jesus, into the world around us. That everywhere we go, whether we go to the shops, whether we go to our workplace, whether we're at home with our wives and kids, with our husbands, Lord Jesus, may your love flow through us in a mighty way. I thank you for this word. I thank you for the time that we could spend together as in fellowship with one another, Lord Jesus. I thank you that we can walk away here being encouraged. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have done a work in our hearts. And as we leave this place, I pray that it won't stay with us, but Lord, that we won't be selfish in the word that we've received, but that we will be people who think of others more highly than ourselves, that we will be able to wash the feet of those who you love. So we thank you for this time and we praise your name, Lord Jesus. We lift you up. There is none like you, Lord. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. We praise your name. Mighty Counselor, King of the Nations. Praise your name. Amen.